You are listening to Reclaim the Planet podcast with Cheryl G, where we talk about saving the planet in a whole new way, one radical leader at a time. This week, we are talking to the amazing Dee Hutchinson. Dee is a learning and development devotee and helps entrepreneurs create digital educational content for their business. Dee has lived and worked in 18 countries all over the world. She has two Amazon best-selling books, The Hard Facts About Soft Skills and The Beginner's Guide to Being You. She has 8 industry awards, including Business Coach of the Year twice, Entrepreneur of the Year, and Best New Product and Service. She has reduced all of her stuff down to 2 suitcases and traveled all over the world while running her own business. She loves entrepreneurs and helping them really bring their love for their business to the world. And this is so hugely vital for everything in the planet, because in order for us to love the planet, we need to also love ourselves, our lives, and what we do. So let's jump right into the episode. Hi, everyone. Cheryl G here, and this is Reclaim the Planet podcast, if my lips want to work today. And today we're talking to Dee Hutchinson, who is such an amazing and epic woman. So Dee, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself, because I feel like my podcast interviewees are always great to, you know, speak about themselves. It makes it so much more succinct.
I love any opportunity to talk about myself. So thanks for that. It's great to be here, Cheryl. Thank you for having me. I am Dee, if you can't tell from the accent already, I am Irish. I'm based in Marbella, which is in the south of Spain. And from a work perspective, I am an online coach. I have a lot of different hats. The one I resonate with most is an online coach. I help expatriates and entrepreneurs convert their professional skills into something that they can profit from, create a second income. But I also do a lot of work with corporates on their learning and development strategy, because learning and development is where I came from after about 20 years in the corporate world. And now I'm looking out the window at the Spanish Sea. I'm a full-time home entrepreneur and love what I do.
Oh, it's amazing. And I saw the photos that you posted of the retreat that you're hosting, and I was like, oh my God.
I know. As one of the best things about my job is sort of going and looking at fabulous places where I can hold my training, you know, any excuse to get on the Airbnb website. But I'm lucky there are some really gorgeous, traditional, sort of oldie schooly kind of Spanish villas that are in the southern Spain region. So I have a lot to choose from.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, so I myself like getting ready to start really kicking up and hosting some retreats. And yeah, the location is the hardest part.
Yeah, yes. Well, so, I think if you get a nice place, I just like posting juicy photos of the property, and that seems to be enough to get people to want to come. My marketing isn't very sophisticated from that point of view.
Yeah, the location is definitely a big factor, I think. I mean, it always has been for myself, but also for a lot of people, because it's like, you know, it's as much as it is a retreat it's for yourself, for your business. It's
absolutely,
you know, there's a level of, you know, and of relaxation, but having that location to really like just pull you out of your regular day to day, like
exactly.
Just craziness is wonderful. So.
I agree.
So I wanted to chat with you, and I know I kind of gave you a heads up before we popped on here, so you had an idea. But really, you know, like my background, what I talk about, and this is also for the listeners if they're tuning in for the first time, is, you know, I have a background in environmental science, and so, you know, my big, you know, legacy to leave behind, I guess, is to help us, you know, kind of save the planet, reclaim it, and bring it back to where it needs to be, really, in reality. But I also feel truly that that's something that has to start at a very basic level with each and every human being.
Yes.
And their love for themselves, their love for their life, for their planet, you know, and that kind of continues to create that ripple effect outwards. And so I know, you know, you're big, and it's funny because it might seem totally like off the beaten path, but what you do, I definitely feel like ties very much into that, because you're helping not only people, but companies, you know, create this wonderful place to work, really, is what it is, which is a huge part of that in our lives. So I'd love to have you talk a bit more about that and about, you know, and bringing that all back together. I would love to hear about that.
Totally. I'd love to take credit for having been deliberate about my strategy and how my business has helped the environment, but it wasn't deliberate, I have to be honest, but has been a really happy byproduct. I mean, my interest in being online and being digital came from a very selfish desire to be able to work where I wanted, when I wanted, not having to go to an office, and have more freedom. But what I've found from that is small changes in that I don't need a car anymore. I live right in the middle of town. I don't have to drive anywhere. But also my business, I don't need to travel anywhere either. So the amount of traveling I would have been doing before here with my carbon footprint would have been something to be embarrassed by. Whereas now, not only do I have, I'm a travel lover, but I do travel an awful lot less. But then if I look at how I help companies create digital training and, you know, to look after their own employees. Now, employees that would have had to travel a lot to get to go to a classroom where a teacher is available can now do it sitting in their homes or at their desks in the office, and have more control over how they learn and more independence over how they learn and have a more tailored and personalized experience for how they learn. And I think that there's so much. There's so much good with technology. There's a lot to be scared of, for sure. You know, big brother kind of stuff and our data being interrogated and stolen. But on the flip side, we don't hear a lot about how much exponential good is coming from the use of technology in really small ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's like something that not a lot of people consider, you know, that ability to, you know, not only be able to work from home, which is nice and have that flexibility from a personal level, but also just that reduction in
absolutely
the impact on the environment for everyone as a whole. And, you know, it's huge. And I think, like you said, not a lot of people talk about the benefits, and there's a lot of reasons behind that, but I won't go into that.
that's another podcast episode.
But it's hugely, you know, it's some of it has to do with it just being a big unknown for people, not understanding, you know, being able to wrap their minds around it. But, you know, I love that you are able to create that space for people, to be able to do that. And even more importantly, you know, the companies that are involved as well, because getting them on board is incredibly important in order to allow the employees. So what kind of impact have you seen that have, like, on, you know, whether it's a singular person who you've worked with, or even the employees of a company as a whole, like as far as the mental health and well-being of those people?
Well, one example comes to mind. I'll give you a corporate and individual. The individual is a lovely customer of mine called Ruthie Purcell. And she's on my mind right now because I've just been sending lots of hearts on her Facebook stories because she's killing it on social media. And when I met Ruthie, she had just given birth to her first baby, and she was a very happy new mother, not particularly keen on going back to her job necessarily as a project manager because she wanted to be able to stay at home, and she also had this sort of side passion and a really a gift for cooking. So we met each other by chance, and she ended up signing up to one of my programs, which was to get her a digital or online product of some sort so that she could create enough of an income to be able to stay at home, to be able to leave her job. And she launched her cookery club, I think the name was called Past 2 to 3 months after she started the course, and she was able to give up her job like for 5 months later. And I've just been looking at her social media now. She has the most lovely and in, she's the most normal person in the world, because I like to work with normal people, you know. But she cooks, she teaches busy moms how to cook really nutritious meals for their family and not be stressed out about it. And what I love is, you know, when she's doing her videos, it's literally the phone is propped up on a shelf in the kitchen and she's cooking away and you can see the baby in the background and the kitchen is a little bit messy because that's real life. Mm-hmm. And she's so relatable. And she's just a perfect example of how you can take a little gift and apply your own originality and your own sort of real life story to something that is incredibly relatable for others. She's since launched her second course and is doing super well. And I'm just really, I feel like a proud mother at the moment. All my customers are like my kids. So I think she's a perfect example of someone who just was motivated to want to make a change for a really good reason. For Ruthie, it wasn't about the money. It was about being able to stay home and look after her family. You know, money is just the necessity to make that happen. And I have lots of examples of people like that who are really doing it. Ordinary yet extraordinary things. And then from a more corporate perspective, I suppose I'm a softie by nature. My leadership style, even when I was in corporate, is I like to look after people. And I think people's well-being, mental well-being, is the most important thing. I believe you can't leave your life outside the office. I think, why would you, you know, separate yourself like that? It's an impossible ask of people. But if you genuinely care about a person as a whole, rather than just the work that they bring, they will do more for you. You know, they'll go to bat for you. They'll go the very cliched extra mile for you. I was just in Jamaica about 2 weeks ago doing a half day train, sort of been nearly like a goal setting session for the start of the year for 80 of the customer care staff, who'll be the most junior staff in the business. And they were a little bit neglected. So the business decided to bring me in to do some half day workshops to get them motivated, help them set their goals, you know, get rid of some limiting beliefs. And I think stuff that companies generally don't do and should do more. And this is purely about these people's personal goals, nothing to do with who they were in the business or their career and aspirations. It was purely about them. Until, you know, in 3 hours, these people, they looked different. They were bouncing out of the training room with sort of confident in themselves and a little bit more self-belief. And some of them will leave the business for sure. Do you know what I mean? Some of them will recognize, oh, I'm in the wrong place. But I think it takes a really brave company to allow that to happen, because those people will go out into the world and they will say, this company, if it wasn't for the training I got with this company, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I think that's really, really special. And the ones who stay will be grateful that they can work on their future plans and possibly stay within the business and do both. And that doesn't cost a lot of money to do, but the difference it makes to those employees and to the business and to the customers is immeasurable. I love what I do. Saying that out loud, I'm actually, it's really, really nice.
That's so wonderful. And it's like, I can hear the gratitude in your voice. Mm. And that's like, it makes me be also being, I have a corporate background. I worked in corporate for over 10 years and some great places and not some great, not so great places. And yes. It's very touching to hear that companies are finally coming to that full circle of like, okay, mm-hmm. It's turned the corner from, you know, way back in the day. I know my dad is 70. So in his time period when he was really out in the working world, there was a lot of corporate loyalty because they cared. And they promoted within and did all of this. And then it kind of shifted to this very much. And I think it happened a lot with the outsourcing of labor as well. And
yeah.
Everybody putting money ahead of everything else. And it turned into a numbers game. And very much for me, especially being 37, coming up through my 20s, really like the only way you could kind of, it was funny because it was frowned upon, but it was also this like behind the scenes, you had to do it in order to get promoted. You had to kind of job hop a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And because no companies would be willing to promote within, and
yes,
and there was no increased salaries like there used to be. And, you know, where if you got a promotion, you got, you know, a fairly sizable increase in your salary, as you should. It turned a lot into, well, let's see how much work we can get out of you. And
yeah,
and that it's very toxic. And it's wonderful now to see this more conscious, it's got a ways to go, but this conscious,
definitely,
you know, this conscious corporate, like this corporate caring, and it benefits everybody. It benefits the employees because they're happier, and it benefits the company too, because it limits, you know, the amount of time. If you have people that are all on board and like, and all love working there, want to be there, it limits that need from a business perspective of hiring and firing and training and the time in between where, you know, everybody's unhappy. Because if the employee is unhappy, the manager's usually unhappy, and the people around them feel it and sense it too. And it just kind of, it perpetuates this toxic environment, and that carries over into life, into their lives.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. You
know, mm-hmm. And that's huge. That is absolutely huge. And the fact, even if the people do leave, at least their final impression of that company was, well, they gave me this opportunity.
Definitely. Definitely. And people can become ambassadors after they leave, and customer. We're very short-sighted. Our employees can become our customers and then sell for us, and we don't even have to pay them because they're going around saying free good stuff about us. You know, it when you look at it that way, it's the most sensible approach to have.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big piece of, you know, what is coming. I feel I'm seeing on the horizon from, it's interesting. I see it, even though I'm in the environmental world and I'm very planet focused, it's kind of perpetuating from there, because the type of personality of people that are within that genre, yes, are a lot more open-minded and loving and caring in that sense. And so there's this social responsibility that they're calling it. I think the other term, there's so many terms being thrown around now because there's, mm-hmm, not one that's stuck yet, but they call it corporate social responsibility.
Yes.
Where companies are realizing, you know, I know one of the terms is like conscious business. They're realizing that the happiness of their employees is incredibly important.
Definitely.
And, that's something that's, in general, even with the planet, the happiness of the people living here is going to be the beginning of what helps that overall shift into a place, because happy people, whether they're business owners or employees, become, you know, make better decisions by consume products in a more responsible way.
Absolutely.
And then that really drives these companies to produce responsibly as well. And, you know, the fact that people are looking at companies a little bit more thoroughly now and seeing, preferring to do business with companies that actually say, listen, this is what we do to help save the planet.
Yeah.
And that's huge. That's huge. And that all boils down to simply what you do and how you're helping these people recognize where they want to be, you know, whether they decide to go from corporate to a business owner, or they decide to stay in, mm-hmm, a job. And that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. There is such a long way to go. And partly I'm very conflicted with it, because what I do from a consumer perspective is nearly the opposite what I do in the businesses. Because I've come from corporate, I've also recognized these guys can be greedy a-holes too. Mm-hmm. And they're only about money at the end of the day, and it's naive to think otherwise. And I feel passionately that anyone who is employed should monetize their skills in another way, where they can still take their full-time job, you know, go out, if you're happy, brilliant. But when often we plan too late for the redundancy, for the job cuts, for the salary cut, for the economic upheaval, you know, things that we don't have control over. I think everybody has a responsibility to themselves to look at their skill, look at themselves as if they are a business, and go, I have XYZ skills. Okay, I have an employer who's paying me for part of those. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can't monetize your skills in other ways, so that you can create a little financial cushion for yourself, or have money for a rainy day, or just go treat yourself if you want to. You know, it's different for everybody, because, you know, it's going to take a long time for companies to come around to the, you know, to where we would want them to be, if that is even possible. So I kind of think I'm coming at it from both angles. One, helping the companies to be a little bit more human, but then helping the humans to be a little bit more entrepreneurial, because there's good things to be learned from both parties.
100%. And I think that's also just as a balance between the two worlds that corporate used to be, from caring to not. It's yes. A nice balance for everybody who is involved in all of this, that, you know, yeah, it's okay to not have all your eggs in one basket.
Like we absolutely used to. Absolutely
be able to use your skills and do something on your own terms. And I, you know, it's funny, everybody, even I had a conversation with my father the other day when I was visiting him, and he recently had a lung transplant, and so now he's kind of got a new lease on life. And he has 30 years of experience doing this one particular thing, which is a very useful set of skills. And so he has people kind of knocking on his door, and he's like, well, maybe I'll start working again. And I'm like, and he's very, you know, he's from that era of like, I don't think it's even on his radar. I said, Dad, you know, you can be a consultant and just work whatever days of the week you want. Like, you don't have, it's not all or nothing.
Yes, exactly.
And so I think I kind of put the bug in his ear. I think even people of that era are realizing that, yeah, like it doesn't, these things can all be interchangeable. You know, it doesn't have to be separate business, separate life, or separate job, separate life. It's all one passion. So why not?
I'll tell you, I went to a conference last year in the US in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was one of these big digital marketing events with, I won't mention the name of the speaker, but basically one of these gurus around how to make money online. And this is the first time I'd attended this conference. I was blown away. Like the average age, there's 1,000 people in the conference. I'd say the average age was 55 plus.
Yeah.
And all of these amazing older people, rediscovering their skills and how to look at their skills and experience that they've accumulated over a lifetime. And this real theme of not being ready to retire, you know, and looking at this stage of their life as just another stage, a new adventure. And I was so inspired watching people. Like I met one mother whose 3 children were all autistic, and her course was going to be around helping parents with kids who are newly diagnosed, not diagnosed with autism, because you want to learn from someone who's been through it, right? Mm-hmm. So a life skill that was going to make a really big difference in a lot of other people's lives. So I think it's wonderful that now your retirement age can be a sort of a new startup age in many different ways. And I think that keeps people young.
Absolutely. I think, especially here in the US, I was still very new to the job market in 2008. I had been out of college about 3 years. So mm-hmm. I wasn't the first to get cut off, but I was definitely low on that totem pole. But there was a lot, especially with people in that older age group, there was a lot of job cuts. And at that point, you know, the one thing, I mean, luckily my genre of work in the environmental field is very regulatory driven. So it was not something that was hugely impacted, but I think a lot of people realized the whole crap. Now, you know, now what? And it's this overall awakening of, okay, well, I've got to do this. And why don't I make it something enjoyable in combination with, you know, knowing that there's this other option for your life and for your skills, and to be happy. And I think it all boils down to that, like having that freedom. However that freedom looks to each individual person is different, but just having the ability to make your own decisions and have the freedom for that, so that you can have that happiness in your life and live from a healthier place is hugely important and a big driver in all of this, which is, you know, it's a beautiful thing to watch this kind of unfold. I feel like I'm very fortunate from my perspective with the age that I have a little bit of the old school, because I didn't grow up with technology in my hand, and a little, and but still on that cusp of being able to understand it and have it be intuitive to me and not frustrating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I hear you. I think we're the special sort of, we need a special name for our generation, because I think we're gifted in that we lived without it and we've lived with it too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, all of this, it's as much as some people are afraid of the technology that's coming along and how things are playing out, it's very much, I mean, it's something that's happening and moving forward, but it's to be embraced, and that sometimes it just requires education about it, you know, what's happening in the world, because there is a rift of people. You know, I just moved from New Jersey, so everything's super accessible and like not even a question, to South Carolina, to an area outside of Greenville, which is a larger city. But I'm kind of up in the mountains, which is great. I love it.
Yes.
But you know, internet was hard to come by.
Yeah.
There wasn't, it wasn't as readily available. And that kind of was that shakeup of like, holy crap, this is probably most of the United States.
Yes.
People don't have readily accessible internet. And so you have these genres of like going from one spectrum of like AI and all these crazy automated things that you can do to people that may not even really have consistent internet service. And so that
definitely
a big rift and some fear around it, but it's something that we'll all need to embrace. And I, you know, I very much speak from this place of coming from love, because what I do is very much like, it's not even just from a media standpoint and them tweaking it to seem very like fear-based, just in general. I mean, everybody you talk to about the environment and the planet and climate change and everything that's happening, it's always this like, oh my God. And and that's not solving the, like, yes, there is an oh my God, but that is not getting us, it's just making us all freeze in place. We're not actually moving forward from it. Whereas people who are out there doing what you do, and helping people also do what they want to do, it really continuously, I'm trying to think of a good word at the moment, it really helps just reinforce that love of life, and once that's your regular kind of your regular way of doing things, it just comes to you, and then it's contagious to everybody else around you.
Absolutely. And it's so authentic when it happens that way. I mean, I laugh at all the, well, I've done so much, I'm not sure, you're probably the same. I've spent a fortune on training and how you get the whole digital thing right. It's still kind of, I don't know, an illusion to me, but I do know what I love. And the people that I follow or the voices I'm most interested in are really normal people who are just out there doing things a bit differently, and confident in their difference, and just look so happy. You know, you can't help you. I've been at times where I was sort of like, oh, I want to have that life. But when you see someone who's obviously put a lot of work into it and is so joyful, you can't help but be inspired by that. And I think I went through a long time of not wanting to show up on social media and hide my life a little bit, because I think we're, you know, I'm from rural Ireland, and you don't get too above your station, and you know, we call it, but you don't have notions about yourself, until I realized when I started to share that people would reach out to me and go, well, look, I went to school with you and you're not that smart, so if you can do it, I can do it too. Like a completely different reaction. I thought people were going to be, oh, you know, shut up and stop showing off. And it was the complete opposite. People reaching out going, come on, tell me how you're doing this. How did you make this happen? And that really took me by surprise. But it's the most heartwarming reaction. And it's sort of nearly helped me up my game and getting the message out wider and louder, when before I probably would have been a little bit hesitant to do that. And now you just can't shut me up. Basically.
And that's amazing. I think we all have gone through that, like that imposter syndrome. I did the same thing, because I've had my own business for, oh God, since I was probably 27, so about 10 years now, and it's changed, and that was like a huge barrier for me. I'm like, oh, I can't, you know, put this out into the world because people are going to think that I'm, you know, a flake, or yes, I'm always, like, they're not going to take me seriously. And it was more, you know, I totally reframed that in my own head of just like, that was the journey I was on. Like, I had to do mm-hmm. all of that and have all that happen in order to get to where I am now and come yes. full circle. Because there was a long time, unfortunately, corporate really burned me out and it
yeah.
forced me to kind of shun that. I was like, nope, not doing that anymore. And then I realized, like, I have in my heart a very special place for retreats, because this past year was the first time that I have gone on them, you know, gone mm-hmm. on vacations to great places. I've been to New Zealand yeah. and all over, but I've never gone to a retreat. And especially the first one I went on was a women's only retreat. And that was so incredibly transformative and magical. And that actually really helped me realize, like, oh, and that's kind of my thing, like, to recalibrate every so often. I need to do yes. stuff like this. Yeah, because it did.
Totally. And just get offline for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And just yeah. Get away from the, it's totally different based off of, you know, because you're away from all of the other crap and yeah. and also the people kind of weighing in on things for you, whether you want it or not. So, that led me back full circle to where I am now and really like, no, this is like, I've known since I was 10 years old that I want to work for the planet, work with the planet. And it was something that was always important to me. And I had to go on that journey to get where I am, but it was hugely, you know, unfortunately my experience is kind of in corporate pushed me away from it for a couple of years, but yeah. I've totally embraced it and, you know, come back to that. And that, like, allowing myself that and not like feeling like I'm an imposter or I'm being judged, that was a huge hurdle for me to overcome. And, you know, it's hard, but I like, so for you, and that leads me to a question, what was like, I guess, what on your journey to where you are yeah. now, what was like one of the biggest hurdles you like had to overcome that was like, almost kind of pushed you over the edge back to, you know, making a completely different decision instead of moving to where you are now?
It would be similar to yours. A particularly horrifying corporate experience that left me so damaged. And, you know, I'm a very positive person. I'm not easy to break. And I didn't realize I was broken until I left. And I had a pattern of coming in and out of corporate, and I freelanced a lot. So I always felt I had one foot in the traditional corporate world and one foot out. I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I suppose I was too afraid to commit to it. And I'm a total believer. The universe just sends you more horrifying experiences until you get with the program, which is exactly what happened to me. And I enjoy telling people, look, it's going to get worse, actually, until you sort yourself out. You're just going to have worse and worse experiences. But when I came out of that job, I left with a very definitive decision made that I was never going to do corporate again as an employee. Mm-hmm. And wasn't until I left and I was on my own a little bit that I realized that the confidence that I'd always had was definitely missing in action. And I realized that I was going to have to do something kind of extraordinary to get my confidence back, something that I hadn't done before. And I ended up writing a book, and I'd never written a book before. And I basically poured my little broken heart and soul into this book. And it was a manifesto about how crap corporates were and how badly people are treated and how it should be done. And I called it The Hard Facts About Soft Skills. And I self-published it, and it became a number one Amazon bestseller, and hey presto, my confidence was back. But I am grateful to that organization now, because if I had stayed, I would, you know, or if they hadn't been tough on me, I would still be there. Mm. And since leaving them, I've published two books. I've won about 8 awards. I've just got my second Coach of the Year. And you've seen, like, I'm getting a lot of traction online. I'm published in Forbes now. I'm Thrive Global with Arianna Huffington. I mean, my life has absolutely changed. And I'm sometimes get fearful, like, all of the things I would have missed out on if I hadn't just gone for it. All of these amazing opportunities I get to have now if I hadn't been brave enough. So I'm grateful to that organization. I go back and tell them all the time how happy I am. And how thankful. And I'm just, you know, oozing gratitude for what happened. But I think sometimes we need to hit rock bottom to get with the program, and because that's where our motivation really comes from. Mm. So yeah, that would probably be the most, I have many, but that's certainly the most recent. Mm.
Yeah. And that actually just, I just had another thought. So, and this is for the 20-year-olds now, that, like, what would be your advice to them in the sense of, a lot of them are coming out of college with this, which is wonderful, with this already very healthy mindset of, okay, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to find the right place, or I'm going to do this or this, and they don't actually get to have, like, you know, the bumps and bruises that we kind of went through.
Yes.
And maybe they do, maybe they make decisions and test things out, but I think a lot of them do a lot more planning now, and they are very careful about where they're putting themselves. So I would love, like, with that in mind, to, you know, hear what your kind of advice to people of that age are with that, and, you know, with how they're running their lives at this point.
Okay. There you, so listen to me, you 20 somethings. You are too young to be planning. Ditch the planning. Your 20s is about taking stupid decisions, about being curious and trying everything and not even getting near making up your mind until you have a couple of years of just giving things a go because you think you might be interested, or giving things a go because one part of it sounds interesting, or giving things a go because the people there are cool. You know, it's way too, look, I'm still working this stuff out and I'm 47. You know? So don't put so much pressure on yourselves. I certainly, when I started out, I changed job every 2 years deliberately because I thought life's too short. There's so much to learn from all these different organizations. And I would make sure I got promoted within the first 2 years and then I'd leave. And that served me well. But you don't know what you don't know. The planning is only a form of procrastination in my mind. Planning is a very sophisticated form of sabotage. It's just a sign you're not brave enough yet to just go ahead and try something and have it fail. But embrace your bumps. They will make for the most interesting lessons. They're never terminal. You will survive all of them and you will become a much more interesting person because of it. Because nobody likes anybody who's done nothing. Nobody likes the great planner, you know? They're just irritating. So give yourselves permission to play, to be curious, to be childlike in these years. I mean, the youth is wasted on the young, right? Be enthusiastic. You'll realize too late that you should have done it all then. So ditch the planning. Just go do stuff. Would be my advice.
That's amazing and beautiful, and it's yeah, for somebody and for the 20 something year olds, from my perspective, I mean, I have my own consulting business, but I also work very closely with another one. A good friend of mine started a business, oh my god, almost 15 years ago, so I'm like his right hand person. And with that in mind, we hire constantly. Yes. We've grown hugely, and from somebody who's looking at the resumes, you know, we're at the point now where we don't necessarily have an HR person that's reading through these. And even so, we still want to look at them. You know, we look at them and go, okay, well, why did this person move around? And then we'll take a look at what they did and the experience they had. And we actually enjoy having somebody that's had a plethora of experience, and a number of junior staff that we've brought on haven't even ever really had any experience in the environmental world, but they are the right personality. They work very hard. They are about what we do and are happy to, you know, it's a good personality fit too. And so I think that some people shy away from that skipping around because they think it looks poorly or something like that. And it doesn't at all. And it's actually it's actually for us at least a bonus to see that somebody has tried. And we will ask, like, when we talk to those people, like, hey, why did you move around? What was your reason behind this? Or mm-hmm. even a gap on their resume if they went and did something, which I know used to be frowned upon.
Yes.
And it's now more, okay, well, what did you, you know, what is that gap for? What were you doing? What happened? Because sometimes you have family things. Sometimes you just want to, you know, I know when I was younger and a little bit more ambitious, I was like, I'm going to hike the Appalachian Trail. And it's about 6 months. And interestingly enough, I stopped myself mainly because of the stories that were told by people who, it's not the hiking that's the hard part. It's the reintegration.
Yes.
And the questions that are asked of, well, why did you do this? Why? And it was frowned upon as a negative,
yes. thing,
like something that's selfish. And it's like, whoa, somebody, you know, to have the fortitude to do something like that and the organization to be able to plan it and that, you know, all the skills that it takes to go hike the trail.
Yeah.
That's a huge bonus, but so many people were, it was just frowned upon. And, you know, I think it's shifted a little bit, but still, it's one of those things that as the new entrepreneurs that you help, as they grow and move, and if their businesses grow and they start taking on employees, it's the new way of doing business. And it's wonderful to see that coming full circle.
Totally, mm-hmm. totally. And like, I mean, my moving around never held me back in my career. I was actually able to earn more because of how I chose, because I've worked in about 18 countries so far. So when anyone had seen my resume, they were less worried that I had shifted jobs every 2 years. They were actually asking me questions about what it was like to live in China or live in Thailand or what Malaysia was like. And I think you can still be very purposeful in your career choices as long as you can explain clearly what your objective is and what you've got from that and how it has benefited you and how that skill set and experience can be brought to a business in a really meaningful way. You know, I will be far more impressed by that than someone who stayed in a job for much longer but has less life experience to offer. Mm-hmm. I worked for Vodafone for a while, and the group chief people officer, I'm not sure if he's still there, a guy called Ronald Shelkins, he would be one of the best HR people in the world. At a talk he said about moving, people who move, and someone had asked him about career, he said, you always hire a David Beckham. Mm. And when we asked him what he meant by that, he said, you may only get a David Beckham for a year because David Beckham has choices, but you will not pass up hiring David Beckham because you know the year you have him, it'll be amazing. It'll turn the team around. And he said he looks at talent, and you know, a good organization will look at talent in the same way. It's not about expecting you to be here forever. Actually, most people would, companies prefer that you don't. But for the time you're with us, we will squeeze every bit of talent out of you and you're going to work your ass off and it's going to be amazing. But we won't say no to a David Beckham.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so it's worth keeping in mind.
Yeah, that's a great, that's a really great, you know, insight with that. And it's true. It's very, very true.
Totally.
Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast and chatting about all of this. So I want you to let everybody know where they can find you. And again, this will be put, as usual, put in the show notes for everybody who is, if you're driving and listening to this, you can always go take a look back at the show notes and find all of this information there so you don't have to all of a sudden pull over and start scrambling and write things down. So tell everybody your social media, you know, and website and where they can find you.
Sure. So I'm primarily on LinkedIn and Facebook because I'm an old person, not doing TikTok or even Twitter because there's not enough characters on Twitter is for everything I have to say. But you will find me on Facebook and LinkedIn under my name, Dee Hutchinson, so Dee. Hutchinson, or my website at dsfordigital.com. And please, anyone, send me a message. I'm always happy to answer questions or give feedback and just make new friends.
Excellent. And do you have anything in particular that you're offering or anything that's coming up anywhere you're speaking or anything that's next on your docket and your schedule that you want to let people know about?
Book question. I have a webinar coming up this Sunday. I'm not sure when the podcast is going out, but it's a free webinar for anyone who's interested in learning about how you can transfer your skills into something that can generate a little bit of income for you. That's this Sunday the 16th at 6 p.m. Spanish time, and you'll find details of that on my social media. I'm more than happy to have, you know, the more the merrier for that. But other than that, no, I'm pretty much staying put in Spain, keeping my carbon footprint low for the moment.
Excellent. When is the retreat that you're hosting, or when do you have that slated to go off?
So the 3-day retreat is the 24th, 25th, and 26th of April. It will be held in a beautiful mountain village called Gaucin in Spain. And it's basically for people who know that if they're left to their own devices, they'll never get their courses created or their products done, and they need to basically be locked away by me for 3 days and whipped into submission to get their products done, but done in style and with lots of tapas and sangria to fuel them for the 3 days. So yeah, that's the end of April.
Perfect. That's wonderful. And that's, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm not making anything digital, but that's absolutely something that I would 100. I need to be locked away in a wonderful, beautiful tropical place.
Anytime. I'll lock you away anytime, Cheryl. No problem.
Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast. It was wonderful having you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, yes. Beautiful. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing. This is amazing.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I hope you loved this episode. Please share it with your friends and family and subscribe on your favorite platform. We are on 10 different platforms: Stitcher, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, Anchor. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you in 2 weeks.